Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
They're racing
now on Taz Racing Talk. Time to talk thoroughbreds.
Tasmanian Training Premiership currently sits with David and Scott Brunton at the top of the table. Adam Trinder, with four winners from Sunday, has moved into second spot, and Barry Campbell third. Adam Trinder's taking time out of a busy day to join us today on Taz Racing Talk. Must have been a great day for you on Sunday, Adam.
Fantastic day, Shane. Really, really proud of the team and the horses. We had a big team go to the races, so they needed to perform. But we had 10 there that all ran in the first three. So, really satisfying.
Well, you've got to be happy with that. Now, the first of those winners was the two-year-old Valiant Warrior, won by 7.5 lengths first up. Great performance.
Yeah, always been a nice little horse, but been a work in progress. We obviously, the first time we've exposed him, and it's late in his two-year-old year. But obviously taking all the right steps. He's probably 6 months away, to be honest with you, but he's heading in the right direction. He's quite an easy little horse to work with, and he's got natural talent.
Now, he was the second favourite. Scouting around was heavily backed into odds on favouritism, but just went to the front and just never looked like him to be headed.
Yeah, we trialled him up twice. His first trial, I just let him poke around behind him. He only beat one runner home, still on the bridle, and then gave him another little trial and just sent him forward in the trial. He won that, and won that quite easily without coming off the bridle either. So I effectively just did the Dharma, give him a dig out, put him up on the speed and try and make as good a thing of him as we can, which thankfully it transpired. He half stepped slow away, but was very quick to muster.
Well, Lake Fergus was the second of your winners, a Savoir Vivre Lake Julia performer. It's only had the two starts, ran down the track both times. Its last run was behind Soundbar back in December of last year, one of your other stablemates there. And it was a good performance by Lake Fergus this time, first up from a spell.
Really progressive horse. Well, if I can manage to get him out to a mile and a quarter, we'll see quite a talented horse here. He's a big, imposing sort of fella. He's got a stayer's heart rate and a stayer's lactate, but unfortunately he's got a sprinter's mentality. His last run there, when he ran behind Soundbar, Craig Newitt rode him for us, and he gave him a really good report after, but he just wrestled him the whole race, had to get him to come back and settle, and sort of he didn't let him off the bridle until he did relax underneath him. So he effectively just went six evens home too, and worked the line pretty well. But he's still a work in progress, but if I can get him out over a journey, I'm pretty hopeful of him. I'm probably 12 months away from doing it, but he's got a lot of raw, untapped talent.
Well, that sounds very promising indeed. Your next winner was up in class, but dropped down in weight, Willow the Wisp, and it was well supported in the benchmark 78.
He's a brave little horse, got nothing but admiration for him. He's had 21 starts now, and he's brought home a check on 19 occasions. One of those other runs was a fifth, and he has had one unplaced start for his career, but you wouldn't get $400 to look at him. He's just plain bay. Tall, narrow, but by geez, he's a tryer. I've got nothing but admiration with him. He got back to last at the 600 off a hot tempo, but rallied late with a lightweight, and he just keeps stepping up to the plate and pleasing.
Soundbar, the last of your four winners, heavily backed into favouritism, $2.10, won three out of six. A written tycoon youngster, looks very promising.
Taking a long time to get going. I'm starting to sound like a bit of a broken record here. He's had a lot of idiosyncrasies. He goes around to the barriers and loads up first. He won't walk into the barriers with any other horses there. He's quite shy of other horses. So I'm really pleased with his run there, because he got back to third and he had a couple of bums in front of him and a slight gap come at the top of the running, and Bullant was quite aggressive on him to get him to go into the gap. He sort of half shirked the task for half a stride, but then got in there and got going. So I was pleased with the way he went about things. He's starting to learn. He was at the 7 furlongs for the first time, and a three-year-old carrying top weight against open-age horses. But although we're at the end of the season, I think that bodes quite well. I'd be very surprised if we couldn't sneak in through his grades and hopefully find a better class race for him in days to come.
Well, it was a tremendous weekend for you last weekend. What's this weekend hold for the stable?
Yeah, it's got reasonably competitive chances, to be honest with you, Shane. Sort of probably looking to back my two-year-olds up, Valiant Warrior and Anytime Soon, running the same event Sunday gone, unplaced. Just keen to take them to Launceston and give them a look, and I'll put them out after that just so that they have the opportunity to have a look around there and before the three-year-old cup. So barrier. He's come through his run really well. He didn't have a lot of stress involved. He only won the down out of his stable, raced, and sort of had an easy run, as we saw, and he was back home 20 minutes after his race. So he'll be more the competitive. Anytime soon will be a big improver. Got a big staying maiden in the first, a horse by the name of Letters. He ran second out here in a 9-furlong maiden. Just got beat a half length. He's very dour with not a lot of tempo change. So the 2100 will suit him. He'll bowl along up on the speed and gets his opportunity. Then we go down to Sundisk in the 0-78 mile. He come back to form with a second down at Hobart there a fortnight ago on soft ground, which is what he needs. He'll get that again on Sunday, so he should be pretty competitive. And Sienna Sydney in the benchmark 68-1200. She's a terribly honest little mare, lacks a bit of talent, but she tries hard, and she's probably found the right type of event as well. So luck in running, they're all reasonably even chances.
Well, it sounds like you could be in for another big weekend, Adam, and congratulations on last week and your performance. This will be your best season to date?
Best season to date, yeah. The weekend actually ticked us over to 101 winners for our training career and the three seasons that I've been training. So, yeah, we broke the 100 mark, which I'm very, very proud of, but always looking to improve.
Well, of course, the Trindon name's a famous name in Tasmanian racing, and whilst you're forging your own career, I'm sure you are well aware of the tradition that you're carrying on.
Oh, exactly right. Sort of that's came with me, fortunately, sort of throughout my riding career, sort of, and I've gained a lot of opportunities, no doubt, through my name. Sort of my grandfather and father both command a lot of respect within the industry. So it's been nothing but a blessing for me, but thankfully I'm doing the name proud at the moment.
And it must have been a thrill for you to win the Len Dixon Memorial at the weekend.
Exactly right, yeah. I used to ride a little bit of work for Mr. Dixon when I was an apprentice. And he had a few race day rides through him. I actually rode Old Halfius a few times, one of his better horses. But that was great. Sort of, it's good to be able to win these races in memory of people that you've got respect for, but also people that you had personal dealings with.
All right, Adam, thanks for your time again today, and good luck at the weekend.
Pleasure. Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Thoroughbred Racing's Development Manager Simon Stout joins us now on Taz Racing Talk. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, Shane. Lovely to be here again.
Yeah, we've got a big 9-event card coming up in Launceston on Sunday, the first at 11:40, last at 4:36. What have we got to look forward to on the day?
It looks a really competitive program. We've divided a maiden, two full fields there, and we'll see some nice horses go around. A good recent form from horses like Valiant Warrior, Van Diemen's Fire, Triple B. They're all recent winners, but looking to hold their form again this time around.
Now, Stride Master and Race Replay is just two of the products where punters can get the edge on Tassie Racing by visiting tasracing.com.au. What have we learned from the last couple of weeks and that we can put into practice for Sunday?
Well, certainly last week we highlighted that Adam Trinder's horses were starting to find a bit of form, and once they found form, they hold form. And with four winners on the day, he certainly started with a bang. Soundbar was good enough, was one that we found that was good enough to win, and he certainly held his form well there. But of note out of the program, just looking at the data, was how competitive the two-year-old race was. Even though Valiant Warrior won by quite a space in 7.5 lengths, there was four horses behind him that broke 36 for their last 600. Now, comparatively to the open maiden on the day, where only the winner, Little Bit of Dutch, broke 36, to have a field of two-year-olds relatively inexperienced and five of them break 36 means that I think we can say with confidence we can follow that form going forward. And horses like Meteor Strike, who, if you go to the video, he was a massive run for Mark Anderton, missed a kick, made up a stack of ground and finished really hard. He and Visha and even Miss May Ho, they all made good ground, even though they mightn't have troubled the winner, but the sectionals tell us that there's some genuine ability there, and I think going forward that race will throw up a few winners in the coming months. And another highlight on the program was the win of Genuine Lad. He actually broke the track record for the 1880, and that was previously held by the Devonport Cup winner, who broke it about the same time last year. So in a relatively similar race. So he's one to follow going forward, certainly at Devonport. I know Bill Ryan's got a good opinion of him as a potential stayer. And he in breaking the track record, that was despite the fact that he wanted to duck out noticeably in the straight. And courtesy of the head-on replays that we've got on the Taz Racing website, you can see just how violently he did make that move, but it still didn't stop him from running, posting a terrific time. And the horses that finished second and third to him there, they head to Launceston this week. So both Letters and Barbara's Girl, have shown a capacity to handle ground with a bit of cut in it, as well as race well on the Topeda track. So coming out of that race last week, you'd have to think they'd be awfully hard to beat in the 2100 Class 1, which starts the program for us on Sunday.
And Valiant Warrior is also going around that you've mentioned there. It's in the top weight in the Taz Bonus race over the 1200-metre journey.
Yeah, and we've actually found one off the video here that might give us a little bit of value, and that's down the bottom, Cool Kisses. I think Valiant Warrior, certainly takes that form from Devonport with him. He's going to be quite a short quote, and deservedly so, and probably going to control the race. If you're looking for something a little bit of each-way value to find with him, Cool Kisses covered ground last time and still finished well to run third in Hobart for Leon Lasky, and Kim Moore stays aboard. So I think there's one at a little bit of a price that you might be able to box up there with the favourite.
Okay, so that should give us a good start. Any other winners we can find on Sunday?
One of note coming out of the trials, as you know, something else we've got on the Taz Racing website is all our recent trial form and trial replays. And Ian Hay brought a three-year-old unraced horse by Tokay out of a Centaine Mary's, New Zealand bred, horse called Bitterford. He's the top weight in the second division of the 1200-metre maiden race three. He trialled down here in Hobart and won that just last week. He looks a nice progressive type, and being out of a Centaine Mare, you expect him to handle a bit of cut in the ground that we look like getting with Devon at Launceston this week. He's certainly one to watch in the colours of Izzy Bay. Either he's a more illustrious stablemate.
And Sparkling Moon, a horse you put us onto a couple of weeks back, it's going around again, and a big field in that particular race, but it's got to be a good chance on its last start run.
Oh, most definitely. You know, he put up sectionals and the way he went about winning that race, what may have been slightly inferior ground, he stuck to that and he was still able to run away and beat his opposition quite comprehensively. Yeah, he lines up in the Class 1 1400, but horses like Triple B, our mate Alvin's run the other day behind Genuine Lad in the race. We've mentioned that the horses have gone to the 21 maiden Class 1. Well, our mate Alvin ran in that race as well, and his sectionals weren't too bad either. He broke 36 his last 600. So I think Sparkling Moon certainly rises in class. I think he'll certainly know that he's meeting some better opposition, but if he can bring that form from Hobart to a Launceston with him, he'll be more than competitive.
And the benchmark 78 handicap over the mile sees the return clash of Land $1 and Sundisk.
Yeah, well, I think Grey Gown gets into this race terrifically well, Shane. The 54 kilos, and as we mentioned last week when we were analysing the race meeting from Hobart, both Grey Gown and Van Diemen's Fire, they put up sectionals on the day which were almost the most superior of any horse at that meeting at Hobart. You know, they both break 38 on genuinely rain-affected ground. Even though he jumps from the 1200 to the 16, you think if Land $1 is going to try and adopt similar tactics and put up some pretty solid sectionals mid-race, he could be the horse that with no weight that can get home over the top of them. So I think he might be a little bit of a blowout there. I'm not quite sure what quote he's going to be at, but as you say, if Sundisk and Land $1 look to dominate the betting, he could be the horse down on the minimum that troubles them late.
And Gigi's Kling a little earlier in the day on its last start, second to Sparkling Moon, would have to come into calculations.
Yeah, he was first up the other day, did a lot of work out in front, and stuck to his task really well. He's not the most pretty individual to look at, but he seems very, very honest. And I'm not quite sure if Anthony Darminen sticks with him, but I know that Peter Luttrell, he's pretty keen that this horse is not far off a win.
All right, Simon, thanks for your time again today. And just a reminder, Stride Master, race replays, and, of course, all the vision from the trials available on tasracing.com.au. That's the place to get the edge. We'll join you again next week.
Terrific. Thanks, Shane.
Nine races coming up on Sunday at Mowbray. The tippers, all the winners. It's Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane.
What's the confidence level like?
Well, look, you know, this far out, the weather's going to play a part. You know, I know we're tipping on Wednesday and we don't race till Sunday. A lot can happen with the weather between now and then. But the slow six, if the forecast is right, then we should probably just get about a slow six or a slow seven on race day and the form will hold up.
Okay, well, I'm sure you've done all the work for that. So race number six is the first leg of the quaddie. It's the Ted Cox Memorial. It's the class one over 1,400.
Well, as we know, it takes a good horse to win a maiden and go straight on to win a class one at its next start. And I'm tipping that Sparkling Moon, one of Royston Carr's, is in that mould. It's drawn barrier 15, drawn out where they sell the pies, but it's got plenty of early speed, and hopefully Brendan McCool will be able to pilot it over and get a good spot. It's second up, was second in Launceston, was a terrific run. It couldn't get out. It got off the fence the last bit. And Anthony Darminen and tried valiantly to get it up, but Braver just flew down the outside and pipped it on the post. But in Hobart at its subsequent start, it was a terrific run. It came from a position where they hadn't been able to win from all day, but she certainly did. So I just think this three-year-old filly's got a really bright future, and I'm expecting her to win again. I thought the dangers in race six would be the Toppy Triple B. He won first up. Then he got in a little bit of strife at Devonport, but he'll go well. He's got a 3 kilo claim for Melissa Nichols, who rode her first winner last week, also drawn wide. Braver, that beat Sparkling Moon two starts back, and number three, Our Mate Elvin. I thought they was clearly the best four chances, 8, 1, 6, and 3.
Race number seven on the card is the Bill Dunstan Memorial. It's the benchmark 62 over a mile.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of thinking that we're going to wander down to the bottom of the page here with Chimed In. Winner in Launceston two starts back on the 25th of May. That was in a class one. And Chantal Willis rode it that day. Bullet Mooku jumps on. I think it needs a strong rider, and Chimed In. I just think it'll be potting off there just beyond midfield, and we'll be able to come with a decent run. Going to be on the minimum with a 1.5 kilo claim for Mooku. So with 54 kilos, I'm tipping that it might be able to get away with this benchmark 62. The hardest to beat, obviously, would be Father Ned, number three. He's been, you know, sort of in and out of form, but he's a good last start third, and he won four starts back. Grey Hype, very game third last time out, probably should have got a lot closer. And Mr. McCartney, who'll most likely lead this field over the 1,600, and I think that's more of his distance. And he'll give them he'll give you a run for your money as well, number six, Mr. McCartney. But I do like 14 down the bottom, Chimed In, from 3, 5, and 6.
Race number eight, third leg of the quaddie, Land a Dollar, going for four straight.
Yeah, it is. But I reckon you got one of the bets of the day in this race in Sundisk. So should have won in Hobart last start when Land a Dollar beat it. Had Haley not got caught up with the reins and the mane and a few bits and pieces. And the horse did lay in a bit in the straight, in fairness to her. But Bullet Mooku is a strong left-hand whip rider, and he will be able to give this every chance. And if it just takes its last form into this race, Sundisk, it will just win. I think it's the bet of the day. Land a Dollar will lead and will be hard to run down, but probably a nice Cronulla. Grey Gown, she's going to get back, as she always does, and she'll get home hard. And Settler's Joy, my mare, that I race with family and some friends, she's a chance. She's now with Johnny Blacker. She was originally with John, and she went to Troy and when John went to Melbourne, and John's taken her back over, and she's been working pretty well. And change of environment might switch her back on, we're hoping. But Sundisk, clearly the bet of the day.
And then in the last race, it's the benchmark 68 over the 1,200. Leluca Bell first up from a spell.
Yeah, first up from a spell for Leluca Bell. It did trial at Devonport and trialled very well, let me tell you. It beat Revenging and Yellow Tag and beat Revenging by 3.5 lengths and hardly moved on it. She is a very, very smart mare. Brendan McCool's always had a decent opinion of her. She won 3 out of 4. Last season, and then they had to put her away, and she's resuming, and I think she went sore or when something went wrong, and they had to give her a decent break. Anyway, she's back in business, and if she takes her trial form into the race, I think she'd be hard to beat. Over number 2, Tuk Toyak Tuk, 6, Sienna of Sydney, and 5, Land Star. 7, 2, 6, and 5 for me in the last leg of the quaddie in the last race of the day.
Any particular race that takes your fancy, Peter, or a best bet?
Well, look, in race 8, I think Sundisk. If you can wait till the second last race before you unload, just get on Sundisk. I think it is an absolute Monty.
And the Adam Trinder bandwagon just rolls on.
Well, look, he's in the stable's in great form. 4 winners last Sunday on his home track, and he even took Kuda Feedies to Hobart today and got him to win a race. So that's an incredible feat. his stable's on fire. He's second on the premiership now behind the Bruntons, who'll win their 6th premiership clearly this year, this season. Adam's a progressive young trainer, and he's built the team up. He's got some very good clients based interstate that are sending horses to him. He's got good local clientele. He's going about his business well, and I'm sure that he will be a force to be reckoned with for many years.
Thanks for your thoughts today, Pete. And to check out all Peter's tips and get the edge on Tassie racing, just head to the tasracing.com.au website. We'll join you again next week, Pete.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.